Blog Talk Radio.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests.
Took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States of America. By some, he's been called controversial.
How can I convince you when your ears refuse to hear? You turn your heart away from me each time when I draw near. Your eyes refuse to meet with mine, they glance away in fear. As if you should not look at your reception in the fear.
Now, keep in mind that some of my guests have been approached by Homeland Security or FBI saying, why are you going on the Clay Douglas Show?
My message to those guys if they're listening this morning is go get a cup of coffee, maybe you'll learn something.
We both took the same oath, to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I don't recall there being an expiration date on that.
Well, it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain? No way. Match your eyes.
He is the free American, Clay Douglas. Catch the free American weekdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Every time I think about the damage that's been done, the anger wells inside me till I'm almost overcome. I want to tear the moon out of the sky and drop the sun. Why do I feel so old?
For the podcast and more details, visit www.freeamerican.com or catch the podcast by phone by calling 832-999-8621.
So made of the dark of divine eternity, like many thieves who plunder in the shadows of the night, they break inside and enter.
All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Free American. I'm your host. I am Clay Douglas. My guest today is Joshua Daniels.
And morning, everybody.
Hello, Joshua. I'm trying to bring Truth Radio back up. They haven't got their schedule figured out yet. Yeah, see, they're playing my old intro here. I've already had an intro. Thank you very much. But I'll let this play. This is my old intro from years back. And again, Truth Radio has a new spot. They've moved over to New York. My condolences to Richard there. Pastor Mossad is running the thing. And they haven't figured out yet that I don't need this intro anymore. We'll let it go out, so we'll actually be able to put our show on Truth Radio. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be. That ain't supposed to be up there. That intro, don't need it at all. Lose it there. Lose it, Pastor Mossad. Appreciate the work that you're doing, but you need to lose that intro. All right, Joshua, you got some things going.
One or two.
Yeah, you're not. Not only are you wanting to build ships, I want to know how that's coming, because personally, I like that idea of a floating community. Cleaning up the waterways, I mean, it's certainly, we certainly could used to clean up those islands of plastic out there in the Pacific Ocean. But you've got another website out here that's coming up, OmniArc, or OmniArchy. And I like the first picture on here. My tip of the hat to John Nutter, who put this together, says, when future generations ask why we did nothing, what will your answer be? And, John, I got to tell you, let me kind of direct this conversation for a while, because I'm getting a little depressed. You know, I've been attacked. Now, there's people out there that have done pretty good work. If Americans knew, is one website that I think you should check out. And the lady that put that together, Allison Weir, she's been on my show several times, and she got attacked just for being on my show.
I know, isn't that ridiculous?
Well, she kind of got back at her because now she's got a website up on Facebook that says $10 million a day to Israel. We need that money here in the United States.
Well, and it just goes to support the Khazarian mafia. The descendants of Jacob have almost nothing to do with that bizarre farce of a nation. If you're looking for Israel, probably 80% of them are right here in the U.S.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got the right term, Khazarian mafia here. Most of them are that area of the country where the country of Khazar was. And they were kind of wiped out by the Russians and the Germans, which explains the wars that we've had to take them out.
Oh, yeah. They were just nasty. They had a nasty, nasty reputation. And I don't remember which Russian leader it was that took them out. It would have been real shortly after the first Russian state was formed in Kiev. But yeah, they pounded them to flinders. Their capital has been unearthed by archaeologists. And, this is not myth. This is history. They were largely destroyed, and the survivors dispersed.
Now, that billboard in Las Vegas, it's in Las Vegas, $10 million a day to Israel. Our money is needed in America. And that billboard was paid for by ifamericansknew.org. And this is right, this is pretty amazing to me because it's right in Las Vegas. And Las Vegas is pretty much owned and controlled, as is our presidential races, by Sheldon Adelson, who replaced Meyer Lansky as the kingpin of the mafia. The mafia being Jewish, not Italian. Have I got that right?
And what?
Have I got that right?
I have not heard that Sheldon Adelson was a bad guy. And it sounds a little wrong because of his response when his voicemail to his girlfriend was outed. And he meekly turned over the let his NBA team be sold because people were all mad. That doesn't strike me as the response of a mafioso. A mafioso would send the people around to all the headquarters and say, look, I said what I said. I've apologized for it. Drop it, or I'm going to break your knees. And Meyer Lansky, that's what he would have done. Absolutely. And so he's very rich and powerful to a certain degree, but I haven't heard or seen anything indicating he took over the Jewish mafia.
Well, took over Las Vegas. I mean, and, I don't know how many hotels over there, how many gambling partners he owns.
Well, it's probably a bunch.
But you may be right on that because they haven't blown up this billboard yet.
Now, is she actually sending $10 million a day to Israel, or has she got the billboard up saying she wants to, or that we should?
No, she's got the billboard up saying that $10 million a day is being sent to Israel, probably by our government.
Yeah, $4 billion a year. Yeah, that's $10 million a day. More than, actually. Yeah, that's our regular foreign aid we give them. It's about $4 billion a year plus other stuff. And yeah, we need that money here, absolutely.
It's, there was a wonderful piece put up by a little Jewish girl from Brooklyn. And I put it up. I did a whole article about it because she was a beautiful lady and saying all of the same things that I've been saying. She even put in a good word for the mafia, said, being a Jewish girl from Brooklyn, she thought guns were bad, but now she agrees with the need for a militia.
Yeah, I watched that speech. It's always great when a twit becomes human.
It was. I thought it was wonderful. And, you know, I said, you know, if I was younger and it was another time and place, I would have wanted somebody like her for a girlfriend, for God's sakes, you know.
Oh, she's a beauty.
And
is she straight, though? She said something about a partner.
I don't know. I don't know anything about her. It's not in my realm. I don't, you know, I want partners. I want people to work with. I'd like to have one of those boats and be selling it all over the world, you know?
Yeah. Well, the militia is built into omniarchy as we envision it. And I say as we envision it because one of the great things about it is, however, whatever your group of people thinks is the right way to do things, you can use it to make that happen in perpetuity and not form a government. Okay? But militia is built into the way we see it here at the Sea Lions Foundation. You're in all council business, in all trials, you're required to be armed, even if you're the defendant. Because you are there to secure justice, and justice cannot be secured by someone who's not prepared to use force if someone else is prepared to use force to deny you justice.
Well, you know, they try to demonize me for starting the militias, and I think the reason, I used to really wonder about it. I'm just an old biker from Texas. What are they afraid of? Why would they come after me? Why would the ADL come after me, especially at that point in time, because at that point in the time, I didn't know anything about Israel or the Jews. You know,
okay.
I used to go to Brooklyn and Manhattan and sell paraphernalia there. One shop had Jews in it, one shop had Arabs in it, one shop might have had Palestinians or somebody. I don't know. It didn't make any difference to me. You want to buy this peace symbol? Put it in your shop, sell it. I'll take it. I didn't care. But suddenly I'm the forefront of the Israeli or the Jewish ire against me. Oh, Clay Diamond started a militia. Yeah, I started a militia. I did in the governor's office. What part of the Second Amendment don't you understand?
Well, the Constitution was such a great step away from European democracies, but it's got some flaws that created some other problems, and we've learned a lot in the 200 and change years that it's been in place. And since it's clearly not working anymore, if it ever did, and I contend that it never worked very well at all, even though it's still a great step, we know how to fix what was wrong. I mean, in 6,000 years of recorded history, we have encountered every governmental problem you can encounter. And for one thing, we don't need a legislature making new laws as if they're suddenly surprised that something should be banned. Oh, we didn't think of this. We need to make a new law. Crap. We know all the problems that can happen. And so one of the key tenets of Omniarchy is no new laws. You actually sign a contract when you join. Okay, just because your parents are Omniarchs and you grew up in their house doesn't mean you're going to become one. When you're old enough to sign a contract, either the group in general will be willing to sign a contract with you or they won't. In our case, you're going to go through an academy first. You graduate the academy and we'll sign with you. Right? And that academy is not going to be easy because it's going to stress matters of character, not some, you know, military boot camp kind of standards, although there'll be, you know, some fitness. And basically, you're going to go through a police academy, okay, so that you can fulfill your duties as a sheriff if you become Omniarch. But one of the key requirements is, in the academy, you're going to, in the course of doing things, you're going to make agreements that turn out to cost you way more than you thought they were going to cost in terms of time or effort or, you know, humbling yourself publicly. If you don't do that, you fail one of our key requirements. You have to be able to keep an agreement even if it costs you more than you expected. A lot of people cannot do that, or, well, will not do that. And those people would end up, you know, it's like, hey, guys, it's been great knowing you, but we're not going to sign you up as one of ours. Have a great day. Okay? You got to speak English at what today would be a college level, the way you and I do it. Right? Because one of the key things in that we've discovered in the last 100 years is a vulnerability that nobody ever thought to exploit before, so nobody thought to protect it, and that is outright lying about what words mean when writing a judicial decision or a law. Like in law in the United States, you'll find many things are the decision of the court. The court's discretion rules in this area. Well, when you and I hear court, we think judge and jury. That's the court. No, in law, court means judge. It does not include the jury. And so they've taken the meaning of court and redefined it to their own advantage without telling the general public. So our language council will publish a dictionary, a reference grammar, and a usage manual. And you learn that's the language we speak, and that's the language everything official is written in. Matter of fact, if you want to sell a new financial product and you're going to invent a new word for it, you got to send that word into the language council to be included in the dictionary before you can do it. Here's what it is, and here's the definition, so that anybody can look it up and know exactly what you're talking about, which would prevent things like the derivatives crisis we're having now. And we have other things in place to prevent that too. But the militia, we don't have militia. Let me back up. Let me do just an overview of Omniarchy before focusing
on just a second. Let me try to get this recorded. It didn't quite work out or right. Strange thing here. Well, we may have to do without our webcam here. Things aren't working too well today. I suspect that my website is being tampered with, to put it mildly.
Oh, yeah? What symptoms are you seeing?
Well, the camera won't even come up here.
Ooh.
And the YouTube just crashed. So the camera has just died on me 2 or 3 times here. I don't know. Just when I pulled up If Americans Knew, the thing, first thing I'm here to do is Israeli and Palestinian children killed. 133 Israeli children have been killed by Palestinian, and 2,061 Palestinian children have been killed by Israelis. All right, hang on a minute. We got a little commercial, evidently, from Truth Radio.
Okay.
Is normally come in large packages. I have a real good radio. This is a brand new digital radio that's tiny, so small it'll fit in a man's shirt pocket. This radio, AM/FM, shortwave, with a little antenna. It works well. It's really sensitive. I was so impressed when I received an offer to buy a quantity of these at a very reasonable low price. I just knew that it would be a lesson to you if I had liked for it. And I did. And we arrived. Here we are. I'd be happy to send you one. The contribution doesn't have to be large at all. Just remember the needs of Truth Radio when you ask for a good old radio. And we'll be happy to send you one. Thanks for your support for Truth Radio. Our address is PO Box 344. Thousands of people have questions about the World Trade Center towers on 9/11. Those towers were not supported by Washington. We know that much. The very fact that the government will not somehow come up with answers to those questions, even if they said, well, Al-Qaeda placed bombs in the buildings, they would do some kind of answer, wouldn't they? But they won't answer the questions, which means what? There's another question for you. We're gonna rise to the sun.
When the school day is over, children still have a lot to do, including their homework. They make the most of their time. Parents can help their kids develop smart and effective learning. The American Academy of Pediatrics offers these tips. First, it gives plenty of time for homework. Allow children a consistent place to work done, whether it's in their room or somewhere else in quiet where they won't be distracted. Speaking of distractions, the television and other electronics can really interrupt, so it's best to keep them off throughout the house during this time. But they may need to use the computer and internet for their assignments.
It's a fact of life that kids are using screens more for school.
So, supervise them. Also, be sure to let your young learners take a break from time to time to help prevent and alleviate eye, neck, and brain fatigue. Tips to make homework time a productive time. For today's Health Minute, I'm Martha Shade.
All right, now, hopefully we'll get that eliminated sometime in the future, but the YouTube is back up, the recording is back up, and my guest is Joshua Daniels. We're talking about OmniArch.com, and
there's an S on the end, OmniArch.com.
OmniArch,
wasn't it?
That's OmniArch.com. And kind of a different way of looking at it. You know, this whole Jewish thing, we've got criminals. You put it right. There is Khazarian mafia, you know, and we're sending $10 million a day to Israel. I don't see that being illegal, moral, or right for Americans. I pulled up.
Well, it's unconstitutional. The government doesn't have the authority to give away our money.
And it's not just Jews. I mean, foreign aid. We're sending billions of dollars out to countries. I don't know what countries. I don't know where that money's going. I don't know whose pocket it's going in. It ain't right. It needs to stop immediately.
Yeah. If those countries are a mess, it's because they reject one of the core tenets of adulthood, like personal responsibility in our Western civilization started in roughly the 1500s when William Tyndale and Martin Luther translated the Bible into English and German so Joe Schmo could read it. And what happened then was that the average European person who had been trained all his life to be a good killer, what God thought, actually got to see what God thought. And they started taking personal responsibility in a way that the Catholic Church had not to. And, of course, there were civil wars and so on. But this civilization was created by the Protestant Reformation and its insistence on individual people answer directly to God for their actions. And, you know, we have these responsibilities. And it also, even Isaac Newton saw in the scriptures, he saw where it said, God said, before my word could pass away, the very laws of heaven and earth would pass away. And like many other people who read that verse, he said, wait, there are laws of heaven and earth? It's, you know, it doesn't rain at noon. The sun doesn't shine at God's wind. There's laws. And science was born out of that one question. And so our world's been built on personal responsibility, and the reliance that the laws of nature are solid. Okay. Look at any one of these countries where that's not happening, and you somebody wants to be the daddy and everybody else to be little children who are dependent on him, and he gets rich off of them, and most of those little children are happy with that arrangement. They don't have any responsibility that way. And their country is a sewer, and it's always going to be a sewer until they change. And they're not going to change until somebody goes in there and seriously preaches Protestant Christianity. Whether you believe in it or not, it produces good things in a society. So,
I'm a little discouraged here. Very few people, maybe nobody's listening. It could be because I'm blocked in libraries. I'm blocked at Intel and Intuit. You can't go into the Veterans Hospital here and hear the show in the morning. Blocked.
Wow.
You know, I tried to go to tune in your show, Clay, but it says you're a porno site. No, not a porno site. No porno on there. Go home and listen. You know, you can't walk into Office Depot and to the Free American. They are afraid of disinformation. And it's not that this is the trick the Jews use, the Zionists use. He's an anti-Semite. No, I'm not. I'm not anti-government. I am anti-criminal. I am anti-mafia. I am anti-liar. Like liars. I don't like bullies, and I don't like tyrants. And so I want to fight against it.
You're here.
Nobody wants to stand beside me. Nobody wants to support. Nobody wants to send a donation. Well, I can hear the show for free whenever I want. I can go to Facebook and hear the show. You know, so nobody makes a donation. You know,
I did.
Can't have any. You know, can't take a trip. Can't go here. Need filing fees for court cases. I don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the we faced this early on in the Sea Lion Sunday. This society is dying. This whole industrial civilization is dying. By the end of the century, there won't be a billion people on this planet, no matter what anybody does, anybody whatsoever. And in order to get through that population bottleneck, a person has to make changes. They have to decide, you know what, I am not going to be part of this avalanche, because when it gets, you know, the ride is fun, but when it gets to the bottom of the mountain, you know, the sudden stop at the end will kill me. So I'm going to change and do something different. We have been struggling with this from day one, and we finally found the thing that is getting people motivated and showing them, look, there is a way that you can eliminate the problems you have now, not solve them, Okay, some things can't be solved. All right, if the bear is bigger and tougher than you, you can't solve the problem. But if you can get him to go hunt in a different valley, you've eliminated the problem. Okay, so he's probably and people are they're in enough pain that they're willing to do something different. And we knew that would come, and we knew it would be a race between us to gather the people and resources and make things happen, and society to completely collapse. Who's going to win that race? We don't know. But we know we're out there running it. And we invite all of you listening to come join us. Here's how we're doing it. Just a brief commercial here, if I may.
Okay.
There are 20 billion pounds of plastic in the oceans, and they are killing the oceans, quite aside from Fukushima, which has already killed the North Pacific. Right? The oceans are one of the world's lungs. The forests are the other lung. The forests are in fairly good shape. The oceans are not. We're raising a fleet to clean the plastic out of the oceans. You can see this on terraformers.neoviking.com. You read all about it. If you help us, you get a floating home that will go anywhere in the world. There's 6 feet of water and a decent breeze, including through a hurricane and up a river. It makes all its own electricity, all its own hot and cold fresh running water, processes all the sewage from everyone on board and puts out clean water, and the largest one has farm and garden space aboard to feed 10 people, including your pepper on your pepper steak and your morning coffee. And they all carry a car or a truck in a garage on board and can back up to the beach and put down a ramp and launch and recover that car or truck. And they do all of this. You ready for this? Without a drop of fuel. You also get a cash payout. And I say cash payout because we're setting things up in such a way that you really don't need money while you're working with us full time. And some of these floating homes that we build will sell for cash, and you get a piece of that as profit sharing. And what we want to do, and we're not going to be hardcore about this, but we'll is hand you all of your profit sharing in one check when you launch your life yacht and you're done with your service to us. So you get out of there with 200,000, whatever the number is, and a brand new life yacht. And you've got your whole life ahead of you, and you no longer need a job. Okay. That's how we want to do it. But if you need money during the time while you're there, and a lot of people will, then we'll dip into profit sharing for that. Okay. All that'll do is lessen your check by a little bit. But that's what we're doing that people are getting behind. Our fundraising is working. We're starting to make headway. We could even break ground as early as January. That's our goal, to start our construction facility. And we don't need huge amounts for this. We can do it for under $10 million. About 9.6 is the number. All right. We'll start on the Gulf Coast, Texas, Louisiana, Alabama. And our second location, either in Costa Rica or the Philippines, most likely. We haven't set that, haven't decided yet. And in return for a term of service, somebody gets one of these amazing life yachts, and you can start right now where you are at home, earning hours toward your life yacht. Contact us and fill out the membership agreement and send it in. The membership agreement does not bind you. It binds us. Right? And then you begin fundraising. That's the thing there is to do right now is fundraising for everybody. You have garage sales and car washes and whatever. If you live in a territory in one of the 10 states where Mazio's Pizza has stores, they're a regional chain with 160, 170 stores in 10 states. We have these wonderful coupon books that we get from them that you can sell. Each coupon in it is for a whole item, not a percent discount. And a whole pizza, a whole dessert, a whole buffet, okay? And there's almost $50 worth of food in them. They go for $5. People snap them right up. You know, if I just go out and walk around selling these things, I can bring in, I mean, just walking around talking to people, I can bring in $40 to $70 an hour. As a fundraiser, you get a share of that, right? Because you have day-to-day needs too, right? And we don't have anybody part-time yet. We have one guy who said, this is working out well enough. I I'm going to see if I can get my boss to lay me off so I can also collect unemployment, but I want to go full-time with you guys. Right. So this is happening. Right? It's at terraformers.neovikings.com. Now back to Omniarchy. I wanted to do an overview of Omniarchy.
By the way, send me that link up on Skype, and I'll put it up on under this show under your name on.
Okay.
And all I have to do is click on your name or right click on your name, and get the URL for the show. Blog radio.
Okay. There you go. I just sent it.
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay. It's been said that democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others we've ever tried. And the fact is, government does not work. It can't. And in 1 Samuel 5, the nation of Israel, the real nation of Israel, had 400 years in which they had no government ever, and they never lost a war, and they never paid a tax. Right. But they told the prophet Samuel, hey, we're tired of this God person who's living in a tabernacle and only speaks through his priest. We want a king like everybody else. And you know, Samuel, people form governments to ensure their prosperity and lead them in their wars. What governments actually do is enslave the people to ensure the government's prosperity and draft the people's children to fight the government's wars. But it's all right. I'll give them a government. And there has been no government in history that has worked. In history's government doesn't work. Somebody else making decisions for me puts me in a situation in which want to be. Period. So, the Lions Foundation looked back in history at the things that worked to deal with the problems that government claims it's there to deal with, and some of the things that it doesn't. We found that the local jury system, a standing jury, worked very well. This is when you got old enough that you weren't working the fields anymore, and you had learned some wisdom, you'd spend your days sitting in the city gates. The elders would sit in the city gates. And they had two important features. One, they were a jury sitting right there ready to judge a case. Right? If I stole $10 from Bob, Bob goes to the elders at the city gates. And if I won't show up, they'll send some young muscle to drag me in. And then they'll say, so, what's with this $10? And they'll work it out. We'll be done in an hour or less. Yeah. They also served as court clerks. The only marriage ceremony in the Bible does not involve any sort of government licensing. Boaz and Ruth went to the elders at the city gates and said, attention, I like this one. And the elders at the city gates said, okay, go for it. Have lots of kids. So the standing jury works well. Politicking and jury selection to get on a jury do not work well and do not produce justice. So that's easy. Take all the available people who are qualified to be a juror, strike the names of those who have a conflict of interest, like you don't want me sitting on a jury to judge my brother, okay? And put the remaining names in a hat and draw out 12 names. There's your jury. Right? The one who's been a citizen the longest, that's your foreman or forewoman. They conduct the proceedings much like a judge would, and they don't have a vote in case unless there's a tie. That's simple. We boiled down government to five things that need to happen. And there's two or three in addition to this. They're not five things that need to happen. This is that exist that need filled. And most people can do these. I mean, almost anybody can. The first office that needs filled is counselor. You need somebody to sit on a council and look at the various issues and make decisions about how they should be handled. That need is never going to go away just because the things are always changing. Number two, you need a clerk. This person establishes rights. I hear that music.
We got a commercial break coming up here, and we will be right back with Joshua again. I kind of like this commercial break. There's stuff that I'm going to talk about. We'll be right back.
Concern about the judiciary today and about the Constitution are sometimes arguing with each other about the issue of sovereignty. We, the people, some say, are sovereign. I am sovereign, individually, others say. And yet, there's going, are we under the nation of law or men? If men are sovereign, then I guess we need a king to be the sovereign person. But that's not the way we're structured. We're supposed to not be a nation under men. We're supposed to be a nation under law. What is the sovereign law? David Whitney has a magnificent lecture on this subject. It's less than an hour long. I'd love to send you a CD with his lecture. Please send for it. The Sovereignty CD. And write to us at Post Office Box 344, California 93444. That's POS 344 in Nacomo, California 93444. We hear so much about it, but after all, we got the idea that pollution is just everywhere, and in a certain place. But there is also pollution that you can't see. One of our listeners, who is a prison guard, has been subjected to the pollution of high voltage electricity. It's called EMF radiation, and the guard station, you can see the picture of the guard station where he works. It is right next to some high voltage electrical lines, and it's impacting his health. So he's done a good deal of research on this subject, and he sent us a CD that will save you a lot of time on Google if you are concerned about this issue. Yes, it's a controversial issue. I know that, but it's something you really need to dig into and get the facts about. If you want to learn about EMF pollution, send for the CD on that. Then you write P.O. Box 244, Nacomo, California, 93444.
News of music here. I don't need time on my show being basic elevator music.
Is there no way to mute that particular piece of the food?
I have no idea here. This is only 2 days that Richard's been in New York. So I don't even know if he's got the time here. These commercials come up at 20 and 40. But like I said, it's all kind of new to all of us. And I can't talk over it. I don't like to. And we will make some decisions whether or not we're going to stay on Truth Radio if we don't get this issue handled and taken care of. But let's give them one more minute here. And sign up, do something here. Okay.
Here's green.
All right, hang on a second. Let's see if we can get Joshua back up. Tried to cruise radio and ended up eliminating all of you. Back up. I got Blog Talk.
Right.
And I'll see if we can bring Truth Radio back up.
Are you sure you want to? How many listeners does it represent?
Not particularly. But
I mean, we've lost, what, 6 minutes to that stupid thing?
I guess so. All right, here's the Truth Radio hotline. Let's test it.
Testing, testing. One, two, three.
It's connecting. It's connecting. All right. We've got Truth Radio back up. I hung up on Truth Radio because I'm a man, my guests aren't going to sit and listen to 5 minutes of mood music. So for you people that are handling that, Pastor Mossad and Nick, that really sucked. And it happens again. If we don't get that fixed, I will not be broadcasting on Truth Radio again. I've been broadcasting on Truth Radio for 20 years. But listening to 5 minutes of mood music in the middle of my show is more than my patience will handle. All right, Joshua, we're back on. And again, I understand that when you move to all the way across the country and you're trying to put something new together, there are glitches. We'll take that into account, and I don't hold grudges. But it's... We still got an hour and 15 minutes left, and so we can probably expect another commercial or two, but again, we'll see.
Okay. All right, we were talking with Yarki, and I had touched briefly on what a council does. The next office of government that you need, somebody has to be a clerk, and Yarki, everybody has a record book and can be a clerk whenever you need them to. They just get paid for their time like anybody else. Clerks establish rights by recording facts. And in any jury proceeding, one of the jurors is the clerk. Or if that turns out to be too big a burden, they can work. Right? The jury itself can, the jury foreman or forewoman. And clerks just keep records. And in, if I'm going to buy a car from you, and we have a paper title for it, not everything has a paper title or needs one, we go to anybody, the person next door, right, and say, hey, we're doing a transaction. We need a record of it. He says, sure. And he checks his watch. Okay, it is 11:02. We do our thing. When we're done, it's 11:06. All right, so one of us owes him for 4 minutes of his time at the standard rate. Government business happens at the rate the Finance Council determines to be the average of what any of us makes. In America right now, that would be like 26 bucks an hour is the average when you count. Take all the income and divide it by the bills. Right? And so, you know, 26 bucks an hour, 4 minutes of that, you know, what is that? You know, 80 cents? Yeah. So the thing gets done. That person is going to mail in a copy of that. They're going to keep a copy in their book. We each get a copy, and a copy goes to the central office. Right? Same thing with the court records. Right? Copy goes to the central office. Easy office to fulfill, but it's very important. The next office you have for any society to work, any government to work, governance to work, right, is the juror. We already talked a little bit about jurors, how when you've got an issue, you simply take the names of everybody around and strike out those with a conflict of interest, pull names out of a hat. There's your jurors. And let's see, we did counselor, clerk, you need a sheriff. Sheriff is the person who keeps the peace and fulfills, carries out court orders. Now, the keep the peace part is easy. If you see a fight going on, you don't call the police, you call for assistance.
Excuse me for interrupting here. What are we talking about? Are we talking about reforming our counties? Are we talking about using county sheriffs? There are a lot of county sheriffs that have signed a pledge to the sheriff in the Constitutional Police and Sheriffs Association, started by...
No, I'm talking about, as every kid graduates high school, one of the last pieces that they study is they go to police academy, and when they graduate, they are qualified to carry the weapon that they're issued in high school, and the handcuffs, and the radio, and uniforms. Anybody cares about uniforms, right? And from that day forward, anytime one of them needs money, they can call the local dispatch office and say, do you have any shifts available this week for patrol, or for, do you have any investigations that need carried out?
Hold on. I'm going to tell you, I got a guest here that I wanted to bring on. Let me bring him up in the middle of this.
Okay.
All right. Hello, Jim. How are you, sir?
Hello, Clayton. Good, you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Just to make you aware, you're on my radio show with Joshua Daniels. I wanted to bring you because I want you on my radio show at a very short time in the future. And so I got a hold of you and wanted to bring you up here and see if you'd
like. Are we on right now?
Yes, sir. We are right now. If you'd like to introduce yourself and tell my audience what they could look forward to if I'm successful in talking you into coming on my radio show. It runs between 9:00 and 11:00 Central Time. And you were recommended to me by Keith Broders, who's been on it many times.
Okay. Yeah, not a back or surprise, but I wasn't expecting this. So I guess for your listeners, I can introduce myself. I'm Jim Porter, and I actually live in the southwest corner of Colorado in a little town called Ridgeway. And I guess the contact with Clayton through Keith all stems around trying to find a way to expose government corruption. I had a message to contact Clayton yesterday, and due to electrical storms and everything else, I'm just getting around to it this morning, and it looks like I stumbled into a radio call.
You did, and but, you know, a little informal, and I have Monday and Tuesday open to give you the full shot. Next week is open. You can basically pick any day but Friday. And you know, I've been, just for your information, I've been doing this radio show and publishing the Free American Magazine for 20 years. Started the militia after what happened at Waco. I was just so outraged about that. And Joshua has been on my show many times over the years. We're all kind of dedicated to exposing corruption and finding answers. How do we fight this? Where's the corruption from? Is it the mafia? Is it the Khazarian mafia? You know, is it...
It comes from the fact that the ordinary person does not have the authority to file a criminal charge and force it in front of a jury. Only a DA can do that. He's a member of the club.
Yeah, one of my guests, his particular area of expertise is going into city councils, county councils, and pointing out when he could show that the lawyers are working for a foreign country. It's British accredited registry. It's a bar association. They're violating the real 13th Amendment and the Constitution.
I've got an awful lot of information on that subject matter. I think that might have been the reason that Keith is trying to get us together.
Yes,
sir. I'm almost in the middle here. You're jumping into the middle of a conversation when nobody knows me, I guess. Didn't want to hijack your show.
That's all right.
But just for your listeners, you know, I heard the comment about the bar.
Yes.
About the government attorneys, about the original 13th Amendment, which contained the penalty for accepting an office of profit, which was prohibited in our Constitution. Actually, it's prohibited in all versions of our Constitution, even found in the Articles of Confederation. Right now, I'm on a 13-year project. It had to do with a small property taking that had an extremely large value. And you process your way through minutes. You start in the state court. It's a federal court. You can go to your local, I was in another town where this happened. You go to the city police, and you go to the county sheriff, and you go to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. You can go through all of the hoops that the government has presented for the people. And at the end of the day, or at the end of about an 8-year pull on this, I realized the only people that we trouble were the attorneys. And somebody made a comment. I'm not familiar with your callers and their names, but they spoke of the district attorneys. And they spoke of the inability of the people to bring criminal charges out, basically the assistance or the actions of the district attorney and the state government. That is exactly our problem. And until the people find a way to expose it, remove it, we have no chance of ever turning anything around. And that's what I'm in the process of doing right now. I've got the documents on the local DA. I've got the documents and nowhere the rest. I got a lot of documents on all of the DAs in top. The few that I don't have, I know where they're at. And right now I'm working with the state law enforcement division known as the Colorado Bureau of Investigation. They're a division of the Department of Public Safety, and I have the documents that the executive director of the Department of Safety is a criminal. Proof is through government documents. Now, what I'm having a hard time doing is breaking through to the law enforcement to get them to arrest their boss along with all these other control people in the state. You know, married with that little project is all of my evidence with the through the original 13th Amendment, titles of nobility amendment. I got started on that a few years ago when I was making contact with researchers with the Barefoot Group.
All right, hold on just a second.
Yeah.
We've got a commercial here, one of our stations here. But tell you what. What about Monday? Next Monday.
My schedule is so up in the air, I have a hard time planning. That's the reason I was thinking when I called you. we could visit about your format and the information that I have, do a little screen sharing.
Or I will call you back after my show. How's that?
Is that going to be, what, in the next 20 minutes or how long?
Hey, Jim. I don't know if you heard this, but the problem is actually so bad that on at least one occasion I read about in the news, a grand jury handed down an indictment and the DA refused to act on it.
I've got the same thing with my particular case, and I can document it.
Yeah.
All right. I've cut that other commercial off so we can still talk.
Okay. I don't remember who I just was speaking to.
That's Josh. Joshua Daniels. Josh.
Yeah. Hey, Josh. One of the things... And I've got to go back into history about 5 years. I presented the sexy documents to my local sheriff, who at the time was properly bonded. He was qualified to hold his position before the county commissioners took that away from him. And we don't have a state police in Colorado, so that he didn't look like he was showing favoritism to me or the government that had taken my property. He initiated an investigation at the state level through the CBI.
Right.
We don't have a state police where an individual can just go whine and complain and get something. They can go through your local law enforcement. You can actually do it through the district attorney. If they want to ask for a further investigation, they pass you along. And then you end up with a case number, and that's where I'm well. In about the fourth meeting with this special agent, her name is Rosa Perez, working out of Grand Junction, Colorado, she actually started disclosing to me the RICO violations being committed by government employees throughout this county and the state government that I was battling and trying to expose. This investigation...
Yeah, that wouldn't happen under on the argument. No way.
Well,
that's what we're talking about. Is
what happened?
That's Joshua Daniels' plan, and Joshua is out of Oklahoma.
Okay. Well, one of the things that happened is she was actually trying to do her job and didn't realize she was going to be reined in after 2 years. They produced this fantastic report. I don't remember how many times I traveled 100 miles. You know, to make sure they understood timelines and how all the documents fit together, the names of the players. She went so far as to question people that had signed documents, and every one of them she questioned admitted they knew what they were doing was wrong when they did it. She puts this grandiose case together that ultimately would have reached to the governor's mansion. They surrendered this for prosecution to Caterney. And he refused. He pulled the prosecutorial discretion card. Again, that was another case of the attorneys getting in the way. I now am in possession of the documents.
All right, Jim, my guest his time. Josh's time back to him.
What you
do is just send me an email. Tell me what day you want next week, and I'll give you the whole 2 hours. How about this? I want to have you on. I just don't want to be rude to my regularly scheduled guests.
Well, okay. Let me give you an email, or we can talk. But I've got 13 years worth of documents. That's why I wanted to talk to you. So we'll visit, in an hour or so?
Yeah. Tell you what, call me after 1 o'clock. I have to go to lunch. I do lunch out.
After 1 o'clock your time.
Yes, sir.
I'll do it. All right.
So central time. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Joshua, my apologies.
Quite all right.
And wanted to schedule that guest. All right. So back to Omniarchy.
All right. Let's see. Well, let me put the situation just for a second here.
Okay.
A group of OmniArchs would handle that situation this way. Somebody, the government steals some property, whoever steals some property from me, I go, if, let's say I live in a small town and there's a jury meets every Saturday night at the Elks Lodge, okay? And anybody who's got an issue can go before them. Right? So I go Saturday night and say, hey, here's this huge, horrible thing that was done. Let's see your evidence, you know, prove you owned the property before we send somebody to get it back. Okay. Now, we want to hear the other side. So we're going to send an order to this, whoever took the property, let's call him Bob, to appear. Is next week good, or are you in a bigger hurry? No, next week's good. So they send an order to Bob to appear, and he's going to go down Saturday night and explain himself. And it, you know, the order tells him, here's what you're accused of, bringing any documentation or witnesses that say that you had the right to do that. If he doesn't show, then they put out a call for sheriffs. Right? Any person who lives in that area, they have to answer that call, and the jury will simply pull out whatever number they think they need to arrest this guy. If we need a 20-person SWAT team, they're going to pull out 20 names. Right? And Bob is going to be brought before them the next week, whether he likes it or not. Right? So these ordinary citizens are going to go do this. They were trained for it before they got out of high school. So ordinary citizens go get Bob. And when they get him, they say, dead or alive, you're coming with us. Now, here's the question. You want to take a minute and gather up your documents and make sure you've got the phone numbers of all your witnesses? You can call them while we drive. Okay? And they will bring him the jury. He'll answer the charge. If proceedings need to go further, there's more investigation needs done, then the jury will, again, in the case of an investigation, because it's very time-consuming, they'll call for volunteers. They'll interview to see who has no conflict. They don't want my friends in on it. They don't want Bob's friends in on it. We want a totally disinterested party. Excuse me. And that person will then perform the investigation. If they need more people, they'll go back to the jury and say, I need somebody to help, or I need cooperation over in this other county over here. And the jury makes all that happen. And they simply order it. If somebody disobeys, they can call on every adult in that county to enforce it at gunpoint, if necessary. And then if Bob having stolen the property, he has to pay me back the value of that. There's no sentencing hearing. The penalty is set. If it can be paid for in cash, the penalty is twice the damage. Plus, Bob has to pay all the jury and the sheriff who arrested him and the sheriff who investigated it for their time. If Bob doesn't have that much money, he'll be assigned a job. And his pay is garnished if he doesn't have a job. And he's free to, you know, go home every day to his wife and kids. But if he skips out on the job, then he faces exile. We will physically dump him somewhere else without his property will all be sold off to pay his debt. If his wife wanted him, she can. If she doesn't, we issue a divorce and she gets half the property if she was not involved in the crime, and the rest is sold off to pay his debt. And Bob is exiled. No need to do capital punishment, and no scrounge. If you won't fulfill the compact you signed up to fulfill, we're going to kick you the hell out. There's no to do some sort of gradual, you know, the fines increase as it goes on, and eventually, you know, it won't really hurt you. It's going to be a $500,000 fine. No.
where do you kick him to? This is does Bob become a somebody else, the next county's problem, the next state's problem?
No. Everywhere that is governed by omniarchy, we kick him the hell out of there. So let's say if this were the United States, we'd say, you know, if we like Bob, we'll let him go to Canada where he speaks the language. If we don't, we'll pitch him over the Mexican border.
Okay.
Because letting people screw around with your life like that is just stupid. Don't let people make an agreement with them or break it. That's, you know, why would you do that? Especially when you were so merciful, all he had to do was show up every day to do his job. He got to keep part of the pay. He gets to go home to his wife and kids. We don't have prisons in Rome. And because he took something that didn't belong to him. Why would we tolerate any part of a person who isn't going to do the right thing, you know, no matter how much we help him? Yeah, kick him out. Just kick him out. And so that's how Omniarchy would handle the situation that Jim was just telling us about. That's not even tricky. Always in Omniarchy, when you violate the compact that you signed with your own hand, you face the armed might of the entire community. You do not face some special power group called City Hall or the police, well, standing on the sidelines. And your penalty was arrived at by a jury, and because with different penalties for different things, free penalties, all right? Either you pay twice the damage, or we banish you, or exile and banishment are kind of two different things. I've confused myself here because we had two different trains of thought. If we wrote this assuming that any survivors of the next century would be at sea, right? It's going to be that bad on land area, okay? And we're setting up to live at sea. We have something called exile, where you're not part of our group anymore, and anybody who sees you can kill you, and they won't be held guilty. But you can still be at sea. You just sail around somewhere else. Stay away from us. You know, keep a sharp eye on the horizon. Our ship's turned. Go somewhere else. And then there's putting where we're going to take away your ship and everything. And if you are seen at sea at all, you can be killed. But we're going to put you ashore. It's dangerous. And we reserve that for murderers, rapists, child molesters. And the reason that we don't have capital punishment is because the jury system used to be pretty good, right? But with all the DNA testing capacity we have now, we're finding that even that was killing the wrong guy a lot of times, putting the wrong guy in prison. Right? I don't want anybody's blood on my hands that doesn't deserve it. Right? So pretty much, unless I face him in a stand-up fight, I don't think he ought to be killed. Unless we have witnesses that say, yeah, I saw him do this.
It seems to me that this system would we would be able to address one of my pet peeves in laws against victimless crimes. I feel
absolutely
up to abolish all laws against victimless crimes. Sell your body, or you want to smoke pot, or you snort cocaine, you want to kill yourself with amphetamine, go ahead. For my schools.
Now, remember, I've talked about the compact, this contract that you actually sign,
yeah,
to become an oligarch, right? It can be written different ways with different restrictions in it. All right? So in the one I've described, and the one that we've written up on omniarchs.com, okay, that's the one that there are several people already that have agreed to, and it specifies that when we form a council to make some decisions. All right, let's say we have a traffic safety council. They're going to write some traffic rules. All they can regulate is the relationship between us. They cannot regulate our persons or our property. So they can't tell me I have to have a seatbelt in my car or that I have to be wearing it. But they can tell me that if another OmniArc is going to get in that car, I have to make a seatbelt available to him or I'll drive. They can regulate the relationship the way we've written it. So if they say, let's say the compact that you signed says, you know, your body is your own, you can do whatever you want to it. But if you're going to interact sexually with someone else, then, you know, if you're higher, then you have to, you know, this level of protection to prevent spread of disease or whatever. You can write that into a compact and enforce it under OmniArchy. I say leave it. Don't join an omniarchical group that wants any kind of control over your body. Okay? This is simply a system of governance that's actually written in that compact by the people that you're contemplating joining is something you need to look over carefully. This system, I mean, if you join a group and the compact says that all the pretty people have to put out for the plain people on demand, and for you as long as you're in the ugly half, right? Yeah. So I mean, so just don't sign it. Go find us. Go find the same group. But yeah, victimless crimes. Every victimless crime is an attempt by the state to play nanny to say I don't think you can take care of yourself. So I'm going to write this rule, and then we're going to punish you for not taking care of yourself, which is going to make you feel even worse and worse. But you know, I'm the mommy, so that's what I'm going to do. You know, we don't play that stupid game. Now, the only office left after sheriff, soldier. Every society needs a military because there's always somebody willing to gang up and kill you and take your stuff. Different groups can do it different ways as long as you adhere to the compact. I believe the best way to do it is the way we've set it up, where you're going to spend a certain number of months every year on active duty in the military, wearing uniform, drilling, training, preparing to shoot bad guys. That we did this for, one of the reasons we did this, is because with the technology of a life yacht, right, where you can grow food, you make all your own electricity, hot and cold pressure and water, you don't need a job. And we want to structure our society so that if you do have a job, you're doing it maybe 6-7 months out of the year. We don't want a society of employees, and we don't want a society of people that are just chasing after money. So by disconnecting money from whether or not you eat or sleep in the rain or stay warm, and by setting up commitments, time commitments that interrupt a steady pursuit of money, we'll have a society of people who are much more mature. They have richer lives in every way, relationally, family, artistic, musically, and in terms of travel. Oh, yeah. One example, Indian silk is $5 a yard in India, last I checked, and 20 in Los Angeles. So if you have a life yacht and you're just doing the India to Los Angeles run, carrying 1,000 yards of silk every time, right? That's 40 days in which you are with your family all day, every day. And if you're with a group of 40 or 50 families that are doing that, well, you can get together and have school and everything else. Although, you know, I'm homeschooling, so I say teach your own stinking kids. But yeah, you can have a small city moving about. And even though it's making money, you're not spending making money. You're making money, you spend some time in India loading it up, and then in Los Angeles selling it and unloading it. That's the only time you're spending on money. The rest of the time, family and friends. And when you want to break off that run and say, hey, let's go check out Antarctica. Here, it's nice this time of year. You can, because you don't need to make more money because you don't have more bills accruing. That makes sense?
It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But now to be educate. Now, one of the things that's frustrating for me is I'm doing this show, and even when I published The Free American, I had it shelved Barnes and Noble. Somebody would come in and hide it.
What?
You need to feed your dogs or something.
You know,
let them have that postman. Let them have that postman for lunch. Anyway, one thing, doing the radio show, again, it's a little frustrating. You don't get any calls. Now, my phone number is up on my website, both my phone number and my Skype number, all up on my website, freeamerican.com. But they could go there and make the calls. And I am not getting the donations that I once had when I had the magazines in Barnes & Noble. I got thin. Right now. Yeah. And I've always been able to make money at publishing when I could sell advertising. Now I'm put in a position of not being able to sell advertising because somebody, Zionist, Israelis, Mossad, somebody will call up the advertiser. You're advertising on the Free American. Well, we're going to tell our neighbor that you support Nazis, you support this or that, you support. Hey, don't you know Clay's a Jew? He's just pretending to be a patriot. He's just, you know, something. I get the most ridiculous things. Oh, you know, he's selling that book, Mystery Babylon, to send money to a snitch named Huevos. No, don't name waivers. No, don't do any. Don't raise money for anybody but me. That's it. So we're under full psychological attack, and see the same thing happening. Just happened to Allison Weir when she—that's if Americans knew what every American needs to know about Israel, Palestine. And you won't get this information from mainstream. They won't tell you that 261 Palestinian children have been killed by Israelis since September 29, 2000. There's been Israeli children killed, 133. And 9,139 Palestinians have been killed September 29th.
Well, these attacks,
198 Israelis.
These attacks and disruptions that you've undergone are things we hope to avoid by focusing on the terraformers. See, if people sign up to help clean up the ocean, and to get our smallest life yacht, you're going to spend 5 years doing that, okay? Not 5 years just cleaning the ocean, but a total of 5 years of service. And then they say, wow, I've been working with these life yachts all this time. This is really going to be great. I know how to one. I know how to sail it. I know how to do everything it can do. I'm so free now. I can do things like I can buy something here and sell it over there. I don't have to go back to a job. I don't have a utility bill. So, we'll be teaching them all along as part of our regular training for them. What OmniArchy is, because that's how we're going to run our organization. And we'll say, look, this is, you don't have to go back to nations and put up with laws and taxes and police brutality and all that crap. You can, maybe we're inviting you to join our group, or you can form a group of your own. I mean, the Amish would have, we're going to be reaching out to them, because this is just tailor-made what the Ordnung is set up to do. And, you know, they would want to form their own group that runs their own way. You know, would you want to join that group? I wouldn't. Would they want to join mine? No. Should we coexist peacefully? Yes. All right. So by using the terraformers as a gateway, and it's something that nobody can object to, who in the world could complain that we're going to go clean the oceans? Nobody. Nobody. And I can accomplish that goal at people out of this society and into we have a chances at their family line making it through the population bottleneck ahead. And I don't ever have to say the word Jew. Except when a Jew tries to join the Partnership of Freeholders, and I say, sorry, we don't allow anyone in here who advocates childhood mutilation. Yeah. And that's not an anti-Jewish thing. That's anti-Muslim. Good grief, there's a bunch of people that are just weird about that kind of stuff. Anybody who says that we should mutilate our children or that they have the right to mutilate their children is not somebody that we're going to make common cause with. We're not letting you in. Go form your own damn group. Yeah.
You are speaking and mm-hmm. when it's by the rabbis, it is particularly gruesome, sick, and dangerous.
Yes. Yeah, well, the rabbis are, read the Talmud, particularly Book of Sanhedrin, section 55, folio B, where it says, Moses said that you shall not lie with a man as one lies with a woman, but it's okay to screw a boy as long as he's under 9 years old. Sanhedrin, section 55, folio B. Yeah, we don't want those people among us. In our group, remember, you can do different groups the way you want. We don't have freedom of speech. Right? If you sign up and you encounter something that you didn't expect and you don't like the compact the way it is, right, we have a convention every however many years to address changes to the compact. But that's the only time you're allowed to complain about it. The rest of the time, all you're going to be doing is undermining morale. And that's not allowed. We will ride you out of town on a rail. Wait for convention. The convention will continue on. Right? Some groups will want to use omniarchy, and they want to have total freedom of speech. Okay, that's the society where somebody can walk up to you in public and say, wow, I would really like your wife to go down on me. That would be, I'll give you $100. Most people would consider them fight words. I would. But if you're going to have total freedom of speech, that's one of the things you're signing up for. But if you try to regulate someone else's speech, now you got a fight on your hands. But with omniarchy, it's written right there in the compact what they can and can't talk about. So by signing it, they're regulating their own speech and agreeing to have everyone else enforce that regulation. Yeah. Now, one thing we haven't talked about is some of the big things that need to happen on a national scale in order for a society to grow. All right? One of the things you got to have is monetary policy. What is money? Where does it come from? How do you get it? Right? Another one is something as simple as scientific research. Scientific research is expensive enough that you pretty much need to fund it as a nation, or it's only going to get done for selfish means. And, I forgot. One of the provisions that we put in to our version of omniarchy is when you invent something and you get a patent for it, right, you cannot use that patent to keep it up. If you're not producing it and taking orders for it, then anybody else can do so as long as they pay you the royalty set by the patent council, whatever that is. Right? So, you know, if you invent the Geek carburetor, I can't buy it to keep it off the market. Because if I buy it and I don't produce it, then anybody else is allowed to as long as they pay me a royalty. Right? Now, finance. A lot of people don't understand money. That the only value anything has is what someone else will give you for it. And the thing, the final analysis, the thing that someone is giving you when they give you money is they're giving you time, whether it's time out of their life or time out of some other person's life to make that money. What you're getting is time. Every person has 24 hours every stinking day. Nobody has less than that. And if we base money on various things, let's say we make gold and silver money. That's a real theory right now. Okay, that means that the mining industry is the only industry authorized to create money. Well, why are we authorizing them to create money? And then eventually, when we've mined all the gold on the planet, no more money can be created. What do we do then? Then there's the problem of transport. Moving money around physically, you know, tons of gold or silver or whatever, that's when you've got bandits, you know, standing on the payroll, right? So the system that we, those of us who call ourselves the Partnership of Freeholders, are setting is, and we recommend everybody do the same thing, is the way to create money is for one of us to spend time working on a partnership project. A partnership project can be an investigation. You know, let's say we're investigating JFK, right? Well, that may never bear fruit, all right? But then again, it may. It's a big, difficult investigation that needs done. You know, if I sign up to spend time on that and I'm helping with it, I should get paid. That's got to come from somewhere.
Now, there is something out called WEAR Bank. W-E.
Work hours, yeah.
And they're talking about money as time. That your time is worth so much. And that's kind of worked out in Ithaca, New York, where they issued Ithaca hours.
Yes. We're a slight variation on that. And the simplest way that it happens is when you sign up to become a terraformer, you're going to work so many thousands of hours to get your life yacht, right? And we log all of those when you're doing fundraising. Every $50 you bring in counts as 1 hour towards your life yacht. We do that because, as we calculated it, when we do profit sharing, it's going to work out to $50 an hour unless our projections are just way off, okay? So when you're actually at the, and you're building new life yachts, you're also doing other stuff. You get up in the morning and you tend the animals and the plants, and then some group of people go to the kitchen and they cook breakfast for everybody, which you can eat there, or you can make this and eat with your family. It's just more efficient to cook it as a, in a large batch. You know, so you teach in school for 1 or 2 hours or all day that day. Of course, you'll also be building life yachts. You might be standing fire lock. You gotta have security guard. There might be a lot of things you might be doing, and all these things count toward your life yacht. Now, let's say I want to take a few days off, and I've already scheduled shifts in these various things I just described. So I say, Clay, look, I scheduled these shifts over here. I don't want to, you know, see if I don't show up or if I break them. Will you take these shifts for me? Then you say, let's see, there's what, that's 8 hours of work? Yeah, I'll do that, and I'll do it for 8.5 hours. Right? So when you go do that work, 8 hours is going to be credited towards your life yacht. Half an hour, I'm going to take off of my book and put on yours. We'll go down to the office, or actually, we want to have a debit card. That's not terribly expensive these days, where instead of dollars, you have hours, right? So I transfer a half an hour off of my books onto yours, so you're a half an hour closer to your life yacht, and I've just paid you. The time was money. And that can be amplified as big as you want to get it. Let's say I work 10 hours a day and I make 10 pairs of shoes. I have an hour in each pair of shoes. And let's say that includes everything from making the leather and everything, right? Well, I'm not going to sell that shoe for an hour. I'm going to sell the pair of shoes for 3 or 4 hours. And the guy who can't make shoes at all, that is worth it. Absolutely worth it. Okay? Now, that's those times are unrealistic, really, because somebody, let's say I set up an assembly line shoe shop, or, 20 people working, they're not going to make 200 pairs of shoes a day. They're going to make closer to 800 or, right? So I don't need to sell those shoes for 4 hours. I can sell them for 45 minutes each. Okay? Meaning, if you're totally dirt broke and you need a pair of shoes, you can go down to Council Hall and see what shifts are available as a dispatcher for the sheriffs or standing watch, anything like that, anybody's allowed to sign up for. And you can work your 6 hours and get 6 hours on your buck so you can spend minutes on a pair of shoes. It's an easy and not manipulable system, right? Which is one of the reasons it doesn't exist. Because the rich do not want systems to be easy or non-manipulable. And we are ruled by the wealthy. No doubt about it. Then, here, you have a certain number of kids turning 18, and they're going to, or whatever age, okay, I advocate a little bit lower, but they're wanting to start their own household and engage in their own businesses, and there has to be enough money in circulation for them to do that. And so every year you have to have more money in circulation in order for it to keep the same value. The Finance Council every year will simply look at all the goods and services produced and how many people we have and how many people are turning 18, do a little bit of accounting magic and say, all right, we need to create this much more money this year in order to keep the value of our money the same. Most of that money will go into the military budget. A big chunk of it will go into the research budget that gets paid out to all the freeholders who attended Hull. That's their pay for attending High Council. And so they get paid to actually come and make the big decisions about life. And in this fashion, money is put into circulation, not by giving a bank the authority to money and then loan it out at interest, but by directly giving it to the people who are doing the productive work and who need the capital to increase their productivity. When you go to our bank for a loan, we have one bank. It is not a competitive business. Finance is something you don't want people to work. We have one bank. You go to the bank and you say, I'm a shoemaker and I make good shoes. Right? I need a few thousand hours to invest in equipment. I want to expand my shop and hire some people. And so I'll be able to cut my cost by this much and lower my price by this much. I'll be this much more competitive. So the bank assigns one of their investment guys to look over your business plan. And the bank says, okay, we will loan you, or not loan, I'm sorry. We will invest, and it only invests. It does not loan. We will invest 20,000 hours in you. So you have that much time to spend on equipment, people, and so on. And in return for that, we want 10% of your profits. We're going to buy 10% of you, with an exception. A certain amount of the money that you make every month, let's see, you've got a family of five, my mom and dad and three kids. All right. We normally exempt 1,000 hours per month per person. So your first 5,000 hours that you earn every month, that's expense. Right? We don't want any piece of that. On top of that, whatever you spend on leather and laces and eyelets and so on for your shoes, that's expense. Okay? Only what's above that is profit. And we're going to buy 10% of that. So I say, all right, done. I will do that. So they're the bank. They know what I spend on what. It's not like I have to do some sort of return to explain what there is and what the expenses were, what the profits were, and so on. And they're not going to just take the money out unless I authorize them to, because they have their own accountants and they want to help me succeed. So having one of their accountants do my books, they might charge me some money for that, but it's going to help me be a better businessman, and it's going to help them watch over their interest. And at any time, I can buy them back for the 20,000 hours that I borrowed, pay that amount or pay part of that amount, right? And I can start buying back the 10% that I sold. But it's up to me when to do that. That way nobody is ever calling me and saying, hey, you're late on your payment. Where is it? And if I shut the shoe and I go into the used car business, right? I sold that bank 10% of me. Right? Just because the shoe business went away doesn't mean my obligation to the bank went away. If I make money in car business, again, with the same exemptions, right? My family is this much, and the cost of the cars that I buy is this much, and the cost of the office is this much, blah, blah, blah. Only the profit the bank gets 10% of, because they bought it. But I can buy it back. If I decide to quit doing anything for money, I mean, if I've got a life yacht, I can grow my own food, right? And it makes all its own utilities. The bank doesn't care. Because when I die, they've got a 20,000-hour claim on my estate. Right? We own 10% of his production. If I want to take a few years, say my mom or dad gets sick, all right, I really don't have time for business. I'm taking care of mom or dad, and that's a year. The bank doesn't care. They are not calling me up and saying, where's our money? It's just like insurance with an actuarial table. They can say, okay, if a guy is this old with this family, over the next 30, 40 years, here's how much time he's going to take off. And here's how much money he's going to earn and how much profit he's going to make. That tells him exactly how much to wisely invest. So we don't have debt collectors. We don't have debt among the partnership of freeholders. Interest-bearing debt is strictly forbidden. You want to loan somebody money, that's fine, but you get back what you put in. Right? Because we keep the value of our money as steady as can be done. There's no deflation. That's not allowed. That's one of the things where Congress absolutely ignores the Constitution. They are required to regulate the value of money. Regulate means force it to obey a rule. They don't do that. So with a bank that invests in you rather than lending to you, and we only have one bank, because it's not a for-profit operation. It shouldn't be a for-profit operation, right? Again, putting capital into play is a national concern. So that should not be a for-profit operation.
What about the reserve scam, issuing dollars, printing dollars, and then charging us interest for it?
Oh, just kill them all.
What do we do about this script that the Federal Reserve is calling money but really isn't?
I don't believe you can do anything. I see the movement fighting on many fronts and winning on none of them. I don't think there's anything you can do other than start a completely different society out of their sphere of control. And the place that they're weakest and they're going to get weaker is at sea. And they're going to get weaker because system requires that each generation be less emotionally mature, less able to accept responsibility than the one before. And the thing you have to be to go to sea and survive is grown up. You got to be emotionally mature. You got to be ready to handle it. This is what we saw in the Soviet era. They had some great equation. They never did anything. The communist system, which is taking over the world, doesn't let ordinary men and women grow all the way up. It wants them just mature enough to operate as a slave. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd love to offer you some hope, but you know, our plan is to become like the globalists. We'll be operating in between the nations, moving here and there. We'll flag our vessels wherever is convenient, just like all the globalists do. Whatever nation is the most convenient to flag their vessel and the best tax laws or whatever, that's where they flag it. And eventually, if the United Nations still exists when we're that big, then we'll go to the United Nations and say, hey, we are a nation. Acknowledge that. But what we know that the land-based society is going to dwindle over the next 100 years to where it's almost nothing. Isaiah the prophet predicted in chapter 24, there will come a time when there are few men left and those are burnt. And then will come people from the sea singing the praises of God. Right? I think he's talking about the descendants of Ryan. It's an opinion. But as we go out to sea, I mean, we won't even have trouble mining. There are 150 places definitely in the ocean where the undersea mountain comes to within 50 yards of the surface. I mean, technologically, that's not even a challenge to sink 50 feet of water and start mining. That's, we can do that. Yeah. And so, but the real reason that we're, is because our people will be happy. They will enjoy what they do. They also will have the challenges that forced Northern Europe to become technological and industrial. Life at sea is not easy. I'm not talking about sitting on a beach in Hawaii. That's when you just sit around and get fat and then make war with the king in the next valley over, which is what they did until white boys got there. Right? I'm talking about a life that has lots of hardship and lots of challenge, but also a great reward. So that's why I believe our people will grow and grow and grow at sea. I think that's humanity's next step. We have to learn to live at sea, or we'll never learn to live in space. If we can't live at sea, we can't live in space, period. And then after the sea, once we've got floating colonies, I envision one about half mile long, quarter mile wide, with a big lagoon in the middle, and a net underneath it to keep the predators away, so that, we have our own fish that we farm in the lagoon, right? And vessels that want to come to the floating colony, they'll sail in through a channel and they'll come into the lagoon and dock, where they'll be protected from heavy weather. That's not even technically challenging to build. Right? And then from there, we'll move up into the sky. It's my hope, and it's what I want to preach to all the kids that we raise and all the people who join us, is that because we can live without ever disturbing the earth, and we can have all the technology we want without ever polluting a thing, we should. We just have to stop those who are greedy, who say, no, I don't want to spend $20 million cleaning up the mess I made strip mining that mountain. I want to take that money and blow it on, liquor and loose women. We, the rest of us, have to have the power to say, no, you're going to clean it up. Or we're going to take the money from you, and we'll clean it up, and we'll pay ourselves to do it. Which one do you want to do? Huh? And then we'll banish it for refusing a jury order. Yeah. But this can be done. It doesn't have to be this way. It really doesn't. But the system that you're in, I don't believe for a minute it could be fixed. It's so broke that fixing it from within is just... No. Not going to happen. Not in this life, not the next. No, but you can build something new. And you have to do it in a way so that they don't see you coming. And the tip is a legitimate enterprise to clean the oceans, but it also will serve to mask what we're doing so that they don't realize that we're doing something new. By the time they realize that they don't like the fact that there are free people floating around doing whatever the heck they want, and going from nation to nation and not beholden to any nation, will be too powerful for them to do anything about.
Well, so, it sounds like a good subject material for my next science fiction book, my short story. I think I'm going to start writing and looking to write for some current magazines. I just got to go out and do a little bit of research here.
Okay. What kind of a story are you thinking of writing? a war, romance, exploration.
Well, kind of taking what's happening now, translating it, taking everything you just talked about and carrying it to a logical conclusion. This is what you could build. I mean, a lot of things. I was just got a video in from that Jules Verne talking about Jules Verne. Now, Jules Verne wrote about atomic submarines.
Yep.
He wrote The Mysterious Island. Wrote a lot of books that were science fiction back then. They're no longer fiction. And what I wrote about legal pot 45 years ago is not science fiction any longer either.
Right.
And what I tried to show is here's why it'd be good like if you abolish the laws against victimless crimes. I want to expand on that.
Okay. Well, in the Partnership of Freeholders, which, remember, that's just one way that you can use OmniArchy to be free from a government. We have things like, since you're doing military service every year, right, we can't tell you what to do with your body outside that time. So you can smoke pot or whatever. We can tell you when you present yourself for military service, you need to be at a certain level of fitness, or we're going to put you on a corrective active action program in the service and, you know, do this 2, 3, 4 times or whatever, and then you're going to have a problem. Okay. So, you know, some people, I mean, shoot, John Nutter's been smoking 45 years and it shows effects. I've been smoking 30 years, it's time to quit. So different people's bodies handle different things in different ways. You can't make a blanket rule, but you can say, if you're going to do this, you know, here's what you got to bring us every year. Here's what you got to bring to the table. How do you do that? And what you do other than that, up to you. Yeah. Now you could do, you could probably write a rockin' war story. At the point when there are 10 or 20 million of us moving about the world's sea lanes, and we're farming the ocean and we're tending the fish schools, okay? Even to the point where we tattoo an ID number on each of the whales and dolphins, you know, maybe put a little chip on them so we know where they are, right? And the Japanese decide they're going to kill one of our whales, okay? Because they're just sick about that. I don't know why they're psychotic about killing whales, but they want to do that. So a big fight develops. And other nations get into it. Like, oh, no, you don't shoot up the ships of a sovereign nation. Like, hell, we don't. This is our ocean, not yours. You can ask. You misbehave. You know? We ask you to stop nicely, and then if you don't, we'll poke a hole in your boat. So, I mean, we could see a full-scale fight develop out of that. It would be easy to take, say, a concrete cube, shape it like a cargo container, right? That would float about 7.5 feet deep in the water. I mean, you'd barely see the top of it. Okay. If we simply make a few thousand of those and use submarines to position them, we can actually build a dam around the mouth of the Yalu River. Say, hey, China, you're not getting any drought out of this river until you end the pollution. We're tired of this sewer flowing into our ocean and killing our fish. And then, of course, you got a Great Barrier fight with China over that. High drama, good story. Yeah. But an organized military on our side, not a bunch of goofballs who are trying to save the world environment with violent actions. Have a diplomatic corps that goes to the Chinese government and says, we got a problem with this, we need to fix it. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, if they say, well, so-and-so and such-and-such are making too much money off of the polluting industries, well, give us their address, assassinated. And we'll keep assassinating whoever replaces him until he decides to play ball and end the pollution. I mean, we don't mind that you're mining and manufacturing. We just want the pollution to stop. That might be a fun story. The assassination hit. Sanctioned by the Chinese government. Because the government realizes they're less powerful than the billionaires. and they can't stop the billionaires. China has recognized they've got a huge pollution problem. I forget the guy's name. He made a speech back in, oh, it's been a long time, 03, 04, where he said, we can no longer drill and drink the water out of it without filtering it first. Our land is so polluted. And they're realizing, you know, this has got to change, but the people who are making big bucks off it are stubbornly resisting that change. So yeah, there's lots of drama we have there.
National corporations are the bad guys. In today's world, they will be the bad guys in my series, in my short stories.
Now, I've suspected for a long time that if you send hit squads after the leaders of those corporations, and on the body you leave a list of the crimes that they committed that you're punishing them for, well, that you're removing them from society for, the other board members pretty quickly would get the idea. And, you know, the chairman and the directors, yeah, they'd figure it out pretty quick. And when they realize they can't protect themselves, they might actually change their ways. Maybe.
Yeah, I think.
You know, I think the ones that are in charge won't change their ways. I think they'll just get killed. And the newcomer says, you know what? Stapled to his body was a list of all the reasons he got killed. Maybe I just won't do those things. How about that?
We can certainly try that. All right, what do we got here? We're all out of time here. Joshua, thanks. It's a great show. It'll be up on Facebook. It'll be up on freeamerican.com here in just a few minutes here.
And awesome.
If you want to support this, make a donation, freeamerican.com.
And you can donate to the Terraformers?
Yes, and I've got that link up. And I'll talk to you about that a little bit later.
All right. I'm booked up until after about 1 Central Time.
What about this pizza parlor? Is that just up in Oklahoma? That chain?
No. It's got a big presence in Texas. It's just not out in Big Springs where you are.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the things we're about to start doing is just contacting companies and say, hey, let me talk to your benefits administrator. We think you should buy one of these for every employee because, you know, it'd be a great school thing. Kids, you know, they're eating out more, they're spending more money, save on the buck. So we sell them to a whole company at a time. That's what we're about to start doing.
All right. Keep me informed. I'll target you. Well, God bless.
Thank you, sir. Have a great one.